2 Timothy chapter number 2, we'll begin reading verse 1, and then we'll read down through verse number 4. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for those in the service that have expressed gratitude to you. And Lord, I know that there's many others in the service that maybe hasn't said anything, but in their heart they feel that gratefulness. And maybe even in their heart have said, "Thank you, Jesus." Lord, you've been good to us, and we owe you everything. And Lord, I would have enjoyed to just listen to testimony after testimony after testimony this morning of folks whose lives have been changed, people who have been rescued by the grace of God. I pray you'll take control of this, thy servant, and help us to preach like I will wished I had when I see you, Lord, the one that called me to preach the gospel. And Lord, I pray now that you'll hide us in our calling, be magnified and glorified, and deal with sinners. Lord, no doubt in our midst there are a number of folk lost without God. Some have already even request prayer for themselves in that regard. I pray, and Lord, you just brought to my mind and heart to pray about those that are here that are lost that maybe don't even know it. Lord, they might even be deceived, thinking that religious act, that religious practice, that religious performance is, they're thinking that's salvation. But I pray you'll open their eyes to the truth as only you're able to do. Save sinners, stir the saints, and Lord, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm interested in verse number 3 and verse number 4. Where the Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." This very weekend, Memorial Day weekend, tomorrow being Memorial Day, has been set aside as a specific, special day to honor what the Bible here calls good soldiers. And I believe we could say that all the soldiers that gave their life for the cause has been good soldiers. I don't think we can say that all personnel in the military are good soldiers. There's been some guilty of AWOL, absent without leave, and so on, and draft dodgers and things of that nature, but I'm glad to report that I believe personally that all of those soldiers that have given their life in all of the American war engagements are good soldiers. And worth remembering, worth taking the time on a national scale to wave the flags and wear the flags. And I'll tell you, if you're a true-blooded American, there's a patriotic heart in you. Amen. That crowd, forgive me for saying it, but that crowd that won't fight for our country ought to leave it. That, I say that boldly and bluntly and without apology. They don't love this country if they're not willing to stand for it. That crowd that's trying to change our country for the worse, take it from morality to immorality, from righteousness to unrighteousness, and take us away from God as a nation, they ought to leave it alone. If you don't like America, leave it alone, or just leave it. Change it for the better, not for the worse. It's bad enough as it is, amen, and the devil fights it enough, and so on. But I pray that God will help us as a nation. Always remember that the Bible says that righteousness exalteth a nation. Don't ever forget that that's in the Word of God. Righteousness exalteth a nation. So when you see a nation going away from righteousness, then it's going away from the exaltation, and the opposite of that is unrighteousness and humiliation. But that verse goes on to say that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You can't legalize it and condone it and publicize it and punish those that would stand against it and expect our country to continue having the favor of the Lord. And Memorial Day can be traced in its roots all the way back to May of 1868 when it was first mentioned and as well first observed. The first state to observe Memorial Day was New York in 1873. And then by 1890, pretty much all of the northern states was practicing or observing Memorial Day, and shortly thereafter, all of the states observing Memorial Day. And I think that it's a good thing to be reminded of those that gave their life so you and I could be here today without the threat of our life. I did not come to church this morning with somebody threatening me that if you go to the house of God and take that word of God, then we will kill your family, we'll burn your house down. No, we didn't have to meet in secret this morning. God's still been good to America. Thank God for the red, white, and blue. Amen. But Memorial Day is the observance of it is being distorted. It is being distorted and diminished and changed. In fact, Memorial Day now is really nothing more to most folk than a day off of work or a vacation time, or as I've heard even on the news this week, that tomorrow Memorial Day will mark the beginning of summer. And they look at it in that fashion as just an opportunity to go eat barbecue. Amen. But I wonder how those in history, their families, my friend, gave their life, and those mamas and daddies wet their pillows in tears night after night after night, and possibly year after year, because of the great sacrifice that they gave through their son or daughter, if it would be that. So there's been a high price paid for our freedom. And it bothers me, and I believe it should bother every true red-blooded American when we see our freedoms that cost such a high price treated and traded off so cheaply. I think that should fire us up, amen. I think that should cause our blood to boil. When we see what cost men their lives and men that walked away from families to go serve our country, men that said bye to mama and daddy for the last time to go serve our country, never to return except in a body bag. I want to tell you, our hat ought to be off to them. We should salute them for paying the high price for our freedom. Amen. The cost of freedom is blood. It's easy to track it. It's in blood. Amen. Someone said, I believe it was the Veterans Affair website has it, that almost 1.3 million people have died in American wars. That's a lot of people. That is a lot of people. The exact figure was 1,206,469. That was still, of course, going on, still being added to that. So we're talking well in excess of 1.2 million people that have gave their lives. I mean, that could just about provide a river of blood. That would provide just about make a river of blood, 1.2 plus million people dying for the causes that face this country. Amen. Thank God for America. Thank God for the USA. Thank God for our freedom that we have. And thank God for those that made it possible. I'm glad that our history has been marked with good soldiers. Amen. Those that gave us freedom were not wimps. No, they were good soldiers that was willing to lay down their life for the causes of our country. The words remember, remembrance, and memorial are found more than 230 times in our Bible. I believe God is using that to tell us battle or fight against forgetfulness. Don't forget where you've come from. Don't forget the blessings of God on your life. I believe that's one thing that's helped bless the service this morning as we've just got our minds on kind of taking a roll call of the good blessings of God. God don't want us to forget. God don't want us to forget. Amen? Remember. And of course, chiefly, I believe God wants us to never forget what He did for us on the cross of Calvary and paying the sin debt. And that's the purpose for the Lord's Supper is this do, as oft you eat and drink this cup and bread, that He said you do this in remembrance of Me. And as oft as you do it, you show the Lord's death till He come. And God don't want us to forget it. And I'm going to tell you, thanks be to God, that when we draw our last breath, or Jesus comes in the rapture of the church, I'll tell you, we'll never forget the price that was paid for our deliverance from sin, because in heaven forever, we, the people of God, will be able with our eyes to see Him who paid the price for our salvation. Hallelujah. And amen to God. And don't you dare believe that some of these so-called painted portraits of Jesus on the cross with a little trickle of blood here and a little trickle of blood here and a little drop of blood there, that would portray the Lord Jesus. Don't you believe a word of that. I tell you, the book of Isaiah said that His visage was marred more than any man. I believe that as He went through the cat of nine tails beating, that literally it would jerk the meat from the bones. Most people never survived even that particular beating. Never even made it to the cross. I want to tell you, Jesus didn't come to die in Pilate's hall. He didn't come to die before He got to the cross. Amen. There wasn't enough devils to kill Him. There wasn't enough demons to kill Him. There wasn't enough Pilates or Herods to kill Him. I'll tell you, thank God, He said, for this cause came I into this world. He came to die for man's sin. And when Jesus was on the cross, I'll tell you, He was marred. His appearance was so marred that you could barely tell that He was a man. Amen. And those wounds are not scars. Because He shed every drop of blood, and it takes blood to heal a wound. In fact, it takes life to heal a wound. And I want to tell you, Jesus died and shed every drop of blood. And so, my friend in heaven, Jesus Christ will be the main attraction. You say, preacher, how could that be? And Him so mutilated and looked like maybe even been run through a meat grinder. How could that be the most beautiful sight? Oh, more beautiful than the mansions, more beautiful than the street of gold and the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl, more beautiful, my friend, than the river flowing from the throne, more beautiful, my friend, than anything that could be mentioned in heaven. Jesus will be the light of that city. Jesus will be the song of that city. Jesus will be, my friend, the main attraction of that city. You could take the walls of jasper, gates of pearl, the mansions out. My friend, take all of that away and it'd still be heaven as long as Jesus is there. He, of course, would be the chief example of what a good soldier is. And I bless the Lord for that. But throughout the Scripture you find, or throughout the New Testament, many times in Paul's writings, you'll find that Paul used, as in our text, soldier illustrations to relate spiritual truth for Christians. And I thought about that, how that Brother Mark, he would take soldiers and then he would take Christians and say, Christians, you need to be like that. You need to be like those soldiers in some of these key areas. You need to follow that example. And I think that it would do us well to follow some of the examples that soldiers, good soldiers, could set forth in our life. I thought about discipline. Oh, could we not all learn something from soldier or military discipline? Say amen right there. Amen. I've never been in there, but I've heard reports. Amen. And it's very strict and very disciplined, and it don't kill them. It prepares them for war. Because when they go to the battleground, it's not a playground. It's warfare. But I thought this morning, I wonder how many Christians could be an example to soldiers. Soldiers can be an example to us in a lot of areas, but what kind of area could you or me be an example to soldiers in? Paul used that, amen. But oh, if soldiers today were to follow the example set by the average church member, we would never win a war. I want to say it again for those that maybe didn't hear it the first time. If soldiers today were, my friend, following the patterns set by the average church member, church goer, amen, professing Christian, if they were to follow that pattern, we would have, my friend, people on the field that wouldn't stand, that wouldn't last. You couldn't depend on them. You couldn't trust them. Amen. We would never win a war. The weakest enemy, the weakest opponent would defeat us if our soldiers was much like church members. In fact, we probably wouldn't even have much of an army at all. I read an article this week on how that even some churches, their numbers are falling drastically. Are you listening? Not too many people's interested in going to church unless it's convenient. They're not interested in going to church unless it's comfortable. Amen. But oh, it ought to be like a commitment. Those that get in the military don't go swing on the swings and ride the merry-go-round. When they get in, they don't get in to get out the next day. I'm sure many of them that got in the next day probably thought, what in the world did I do? Especially when they had to get up before daylight the first morning and start running and all of that and everything strict and being told what to do. I'm sure some of them brats that went in the military, them spoiled brats that was given everything hand and foot from mom and daddy and everybody and told mom and daddy what to do, I'd say their eyes was open. But friend, when they had that sergeant in their face or screaming in their face, calling their mom every name in the book, what in the world do they do? But I want to say this morning, God wants us, the church, and Paul is using this to tell us, the church, the believers, that we need to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And we are thankful for the good soldiers we have in America. But I want to tell you what, we also should be thankful for those good soldiers that's in the church. Because there definitely are warfare out there. There are warfare. Always there has been wars. And as long as there's men and people, the amen, and politicians, there'll always be wars. You might as well nod your head right there. Amen. There's just going to be wars. Amen. Amen. Wars and rumors of wars. And I don't like it, and you don't either, but that's just the way it has been and is and will continue to be. Amen. In fact, the thing's going to get in such a mess worldwide, amen, worldwide, it's going to get in such a mess that no war can settle it. Amen. In fact, the only thing that'll settle it for or on an earthly scale is for the man of sin to show up, the Antichrist, who will be a man of peace, a man with solutions, and He'll be a one world leader. In fact, if you're listening to any news at all, you know there are much talk about a one world government and a one world currency and a one world system and all of that's going to be followed up with and in line with a one world religious system. Are you listening? And we're headed, don't put we in there. They're headed there quickly. The churches are coming together and throwing doctrine aside and throwing convictions aside, and the emerging church, as Brother Mark has been exposing, are, my friend, just offering that one umbrella. Everybody get under the one umbrella. It doesn't matter what you believe. If you believe that Jesus is the Savior, then come on. If you believe that Confucius or Buddha is Savior, come on. It don't matter what you believe. Let's all get together. And the Bible teaches there's going to be a one world religious system, one world government system, a one world currency, one world, amen, and the Antichrist is going to step up on the scene and he's going to have the answers. He's going to be able to solve the entire world problems, and for 3.5 years there's going to be peace. Peace, I mean everywhere you look. It'd be like a utopia. Be like a paradise. Everything's fine. And boy, everybody's going to be bragging on him except me, because I'm not going to be here. And if you're saved, you're not going to be here neither. Amen? Because one thing that happens simultaneously with the appearance of the Antichrist will be the disappearance of the Christians. Amen? Because when Jesus comes, amen, He will come and take His church away, and then the Antichrist simultaneously will step on the scene, take all of the attention of the world's eye, my friend, become the world hero, the worldwide Superman. Amen. And then toward the end of that first 3.5 years, He's going to make a treaty with Israel at the beginning of that 3 years. 3.5 years. He's going to make a treaty with Israel, a covenant with Israel. Keep your eye on Israel. That's God's time clock. That's God's calendar. Amen. And I want to tell you, our country will be selling it out if we turn against Israel, and it is happening as I speak. We've got leadership in the country that will gladly and is taking us away from befriending God's chosen people. And God said to Abraham, and He still means it, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. Amen. Well, that didn't cost you extra. That wasn't even planned. I wasn't even thinking about that. But I'm glad to report to you that Jesus, of course, is our Savior and our good soldier, and He wants us to be as well. What is involved? Let me just mention a few things here quickly that's involved in being a good soldier, as in the text of Scripture. The first thing I want to share, and I may not get done with these But I'll just mention a few of them. One is that a good soldier is drafted. Now that's different from our present military. We have another option in our present day military. That is enlistment. Voluntary enlistment. You can just go sign up. Amen. But when it comes to being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, nobody just signs up. You don't just decide to go, to a recruiting officer or the preacher and sign up. You will be drafted. You will be drafted. When you were lost and I was lost, without God, I was a sinner, I wasn't interested in serving the Lord. I wasn't interested in being a soldier in His cause. I was a soldier. I was a soldier, I had a master, and I did fight. But it was against God, not for Him. Amen. That's why you are not just on your own as a sinner going to go and just sign up to be in God's army, Brother Ivan. You just don't do that. Why? Because you're serving in another army. You're serving in another army. Listen to this verse of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible said in verse 1, "And you hath He quickened," that is, "you hath He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation," that is your manner of life, your behavior, your conduct. "We had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now what about that? For sinners to be in God's family or God's army, there's a whole lot got to take place. Amen. A whole lot must take place for you to be in God's army as a good soldier. Amen. Do you remember when God started pursuing you and God began to start speaking to you and God began to start knocking on your heart's door and God began to put thoughts in your mind of where you're going to spend eternity and things like that? You remember that? Oh, I remember. I remember, friend. Listen, there was a time in your life that you didn't seek God. There was a time in your life that you wasn't looking for God. But hallelujah for that day God come looking for you. Amen. You wasn't interested in getting out of that old army. You wasn't interested in getting out from under that old master. I read it to you. You were by nature children of wrath. You were by nature a person that served underneath the prince and power of the air, which is the devil himself. He was your old master. What did you live for? The lust of the flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You lived for sin. Not only did you live in it, but you lived for it. Whatever your old master wanted you to do, you did it. And I want to say you was a good soldier, and I was a good soldier as a sinner for the devil. You have to be honest, we served him well. And he didn't just give me up. He didn't just say, "All right, I'm done with you. I've been used all I can get out of you and I'm done with you." Oh no. No, if it had been left up to him, I'd still be in his army. If it was left up to him, I'd still be serving sin. Amen. If it was left up to him, we wouldn't have heard some of these testimonies here this morning of people that's been saved by the grace of God. No, friend. Boy, thank God for that work of grace that God moved in and through regeneration and through His power delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Thank God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Boy, I tell you, I like it. Don't you? I'm glad to be in God's army today. But it involved a drafting. Boy, God wants to draft you. You say, preacher, I'm not interested. Well, that's not good. But that's normal. I'm not interested, preacher. I'm just not interested. Well, that's good, but that's not normal. That's not good, I meant. And it's normal. Oh, God is wanting to draft you. In fact, the word verse 4 shows us no man worth entangling himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him. Here it comes. Who had chosen him to be a soldier. What an honor for the high courts of heaven to say, I want you. And to pursue you and to, amen, trail you and go after you and, amen, sometimes, as for me, I didn't get saved the first time God dealt with me. God dealt with me time and again, amen. I want to tell you, friend, it was a wonderful day at the age of 20 years old when God drafted me. When God took me out of my old service and out from under my old master to put me in His army and serve under a new master. Hallelujah for that. So it involves drafting. Drafted. You've got to be drafted. You've got to be chosen. You've got to be drafted to be in the army of God. And if God speaks to you and deals with you, guess what? He's got His eye on you. You said, preacher, I'm not much. I get saved, but I can't live it. I get saved, but I can't do anything for the Lord. Oh, yes, you can. To see, after you get drafted, then that's when you start getting drilled. Not one person that's ever been drafted knows all of the ins and outs of warfare. They know nothing about the way of doing combat. They know nothing. They, soon as they're drafted, soon as they're enlisted and you're in that family or in that army, guess what happens after that? Training starts. Training starts. Amen. I've met a few that got saved and they act like in 3 days they knew more than I did and I've been saved 20-something years. Amen. But it involves a training, involves drilling. I think that's one good part about Sunday school. I think that's where you can get some training. Amen. I think that's a good part about being under as much preaching, Bible preaching as you possibly can and be involved in a local church for training. Training you at what paths you need to take as a Christian. Training you the ins and outs and the how-tos and the stay away froms and all of that. And not only come to church for that reason to hear the preacher and Sunday school teachers, but also you'll be around other people that's been already in this fight and already in this army longer than you have and have already been trained. That can help you. That can help you. Amen? Amen. Why ain't nobody going to tell me what to do? Well, they'll carry you off the field before long. They begin training. Been training you. And teaching you the how-tos and the way to do things. Why? They're getting you battle ready. They're getting you battle ready. So there's the drafting and then there's the drilling and then, of course, as the verse here reveals, there's the difficulties. Thou therefore endure hardness. I can't tell you that if you get saved, everything's going to be fine. everything's going to be hunky-dory. Everything, sun's always going to be shining. Everybody's going to love you and everything's just going to be fine and dandy. That's not just the case. Amen? When you get saved, you're in a warfare. When you get saved, you've got a real devil that hates you and wants my friend, to put you out of business. Amen. I think some people think they go to the altar to get saved and all of a sudden they find out that problems are that they didn't have before is in their life. Or problems they had before is still in their life. And they get all bent out of shape. Hey, I want to tell you straight up, friend, if you get saved and you become a follower of Jesus, Jesus said the world will hate you. The world hated Jesus. And I think He's the chief example of what a Christian ought to be, wouldn't you think? And the world hated Him, but we've got a modern day philosophy of Christianity that the world will embrace. Or rather, that Christianity today embraces the world. Amen? But there is the difficulties. There are going to be difficulties in your life. And the old number one difficulty is going to be yourself. Battling the old man. Battling your old life. Amen? And when you deal with difficulties, some things you just need to let it go in your life. Just let it go. So we find that we're drafted and then we're drilled and then there's difficulties that you will face. And those difficulties won't hurt you. They prepare you. Amen. All that you go through prepares you to be a good soldier. You don't just sign up and get involved and then the next day shipped out. There's got to be the drilling of that because there's difficulties. And then when the soldier's in the army, the soldier is in that military, not only are those things true, but there's another thing that they do as and it's just a standard. They dress that soldier. They begin to dress that soldier. You know why? Because the country that's footing the bill wants that soldier identified as an American soldier. Amen. How long you think a soldier would last if he went in there to that sign up and all that and they issue him the proper attire? And they said, well, I'm not wearing that. I don't have to wear that to be a soldier. How long do you think that would last? They dressed them in a fashion to have them identified with other soldiers and with the country that they serve. Now, let me hasten to say, though, are you listening? The flip side of that is the clothes don't make you a soldier. I mean, you can put on army suit or a Navy or Air Force or a Marine, but that don't make you one. That don't make you a soldier no more than going into a garage will make you a mechanic. No. But the soldier... it gets dressed for it. I was talking to, well actually I was listening to him preach, Brother Jimmy Clark, down in Ashboro, and he runs a girls' home, a Christian girls' home. And he was preaching the other morning in a camp meeting where I was preaching at down in Lexington, North Carolina. And he was telling about the ministry and the girls and all that come there and everything, and he was talking about how some of them just full-blown rebels. I mean, bad attitude, plumb to the core, just bad attitude to the bone. And here's what he said, and I wrote it down first time right now that I'm using it. He said, when we get them there, when they come to our home, he said, within 30 minutes of their coming, we have them in our dress code attire, and he said, their attitude immediately changes. Did you get that? That's coming from a man that sees it every day. In other words, what he was saying was the attitude and the attire was attached. And when you took away one, the other crumbled. I don't think that it should be silenced from our pulpits to be preaching on how we ought to dress as Christians. Because you can just type it in on your computer if you want to, dress codes. And you'll find other countries, my friend, arresting people for not dressing right. Showed photographs of them having pulled over on the side of the road, arresting them because they were dressed indecent. There's not a jail big enough in this world to put all those that are indecent in jail. Amen. Even schools now are starting to issue some dress codes. Amen. Why? Because they see a connection between the trends and the problems to that. But well, that's the truth. Amen. So the soldiers are dressed, and I don't know if some of you'd like that or not, but that's the truth. But I dealt with both sides of that, because I'm sure we've got both sides here. But both sides of that is. They do dress you to identify you as a soldier, but then that just merely the dress itself, the attire itself doesn't make you a soldier. If you're a soldier at heart, you don't mind being a soldier at habits. Another thing about a soldier, quickly, and I must hurry and let you go, is that to be a good soldier, it involves being different. Being different. Look in verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That is, he is going to be living differently. He's not just going to look different. He's going to be living differently. He's going to be different. A soldier is not a civilian. They're soldier in their mind, they're soldier in their heart, and soldier in their looks, they're soldiers in their habits, they're soldiers in their behavior, they're soldiers so that when they get to the battlefield, they don't have to switch from being a civilian to being a soldier because they're already one. They're different. God wants us to be different. God wants us to be separated. Even God's Word says about the military that if they're involved in warring, they are not entangled again in the affairs of this life. They're different. If we're going to be effective soldiers, we've got to be different. Hello. And then they have a desire, as revealed in verse 4. They're desirous. They have a desire that they may please Him who hath called him. I believe every American soldier wants to be honored. Amen. I believe that they would want to conduct themselves in such a way that they would have honor of America that foots the bill and that they represent. Wouldn't you think so? No doubt about it. So they're desirous to please. They're desirous to please. Well, we could deal with some other things. They're determined. They're determined. They endure. They're not going to tail and run first fire of a bullet, first shot, first problem, first confrontation. They're not going to just tuck tail and run. Why? They've been trained. They've been trained. God wants us on this Memorial Day to think, are we good soldiers? Our country is what it is because of good soldiers. Our church should be a lot better off if we would have some good Christian soldiers. In fact, did you know that a lot of the military type songs has been taken out of a lot of the modern day hymnals? Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, keep on the firing line, amen, and all any song that's got any kind of a militant tone or words to it have been removed from a lot of the modern hymnals. Why? They're trying to take that soldier mentality out of us. And that's why that the church today's been run over, is because we have not been taught and preached to that we're soldiers. Used to the country, the government, the one thing that they did not want to have a confrontation with was the church. They would watch what regulations and laws that they would make and form and all of that, and because they knew that the church would be up, would be on the doorstep if they was going in the wrong direction. But it's not that way now. Most churches are so sympathetic and so tolerant toward everything. Anything goes. Never preach against nothing. Don't stand against nothing. Amen. I mean, you know it's true. If you watch any news, read any newspapers, you see it all the time. The I'm talking about the downfall of morals in even most churches. I mean, putting and condoning and ordaining open homosexuals and lesbians into the ministry. I mean, that's going on all the time. I mean, it's all over the news and headlines about that. When once that would have been absolute absurd thought to even think such. But we have drifted so far from the standard that most people in church today do not have a clue what it means to be saved and what it means to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. Amen. Let me close with this right here. There's more I could say about that, but let me just close with this right here. This is a poem, and I'm going to close with this. I am a soldier. Here I stand. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior of the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word of God are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army. I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire at the rapture or die in this army. But I will not get out, sell out, or be talked out. I am faithful, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. Here I stand. I am not a baby. I like that. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. Here I stand. No one has to call me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. Here I stand. I am not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my King, obeying His orders, praising His name, and building His kingdom. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. Here I stand. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to make me quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. And if I end up with nothing, I will still come out even. I will win. He said, I will win. My God will supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. Here I stand. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot beat me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Weather cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. Hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. Here I stand. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me to a captain and bring me back to rule this world with him. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior in the army of God, and I am marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior, marching, heaven bound. Here I stand. Will you stand with me? Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace. I want to thank you, Lord, for challenging our heart. Lord, to be reminded of the blessings, God, of our country. Lord, purchased by the blood of sacrificing soldiers. People that have given their lives for the cause. And dear Lord, I pray you'll help us as Christians. Lord, Paul, the Apostle Paul, used soldiers to illustrate many of the practices and the conduct and the behaviors of which Christians should live. And Lord, I pray today that you'll help us to be a good soldier. Lord, Father, we certainly are in a fight for sure. For truth and right. We surely are people that have opponents. The world hates us because they hate you. Lord, they hate the direction that we desire to go in. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be honorable to the one that called us. Lord, I pray every young lady and every young man in this building will commit their lives, those that are saved will commit their lives to being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, standing up for what is right. Lord, many times that's going to be difficult. Many times that's going to be hard because some of the people and some of the areas that we'll have to take a stand in might be against friends and might even sometimes be against family members. Lord, help us to know from the Bible what is right and to take our stand. And I want to thank you for our heritage. Thank you, Lord, for our Baptist forefathers that though many of them by the hundreds of thousands and ultimately millions of them were slaughtered by religious hands. Dear God, I want to thank you today that many of them blazed the trail that we can have the truth and have our Bible and know what to believe and know that we're saved by grace. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray you help us today as we reflect and remember the fallen soldiers. May we stand up for the fallen soldiers. Lord, may we as Christians be good soldiers in the fight of faith. Paul said that we might war a good warfare. Lord, Paul said that he fought a good fight. When he come to the dying words, he said he had fought a good fight. Lord, help us, Jesus, to not be wimps and help us to not be immature and childish, but help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Help us to be, Lord, help us to be good followers, because we can never be a good leader unless we are good followers. And saved people are followers of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us today as believers, Lord, to be those that are familiar with our armor and our weaponry and our fellow comrades. And Lord, familiar with the voice of our commander and the leadership that he would give. Oh, help us today, Lord, as people that are saved by grace, that we'd be fighters, not one with another, but that we'd be fighters against sin and unrighteousness and wickedness. Lord, I pray that you'll take the message and in whatever way that you might could have used it today and drive it home. Lord, those in our midst that are not saved, show them, Lord, that they're not in the army fighting for the Lord, but rather they're in an army fighting against the Lord. And their commander-in-chief is the devil himself and the prince and power of the air, as the Bible calls him. Lord, I pray that you will help them to know that when you come calling, when you come speaking, when you come dealing, that you're just wanting them to be in your army, to switch sides and to serve under His reign. Lord, speak to hearts, save sinners, and stir the saints of God. We need a revival. We need a revival of old-fashioned good people being good soldiers in this hour to stand up for what is right. Have your will and your way. Help us as we stand to have the right attitude. Be sweet in our soul, but strong in our stand. In Jesus' name we pray.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.